Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network, and this is Terrible Tommy back with you. Tom Metzger in the Heartland, in the bunker next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern. Right. It's a little overcast and raining today, so that old tavern's full of old working boy, construction boys there. Can't get out and do the stuff in the rain. However, they do a lot of stuff in the rain here. They don't do in California, I'll tell you that. Hey, this is show B. This is October 8th, 2008, Wednesday, show B. Gorilla Radio Man is going to do a monologue here, so we're going to get him on the phone and let him go. Here we go. Go.
This is Gorilla Radio calling. Gorilla Radio calling. A subsidiary program of Insurgent Radio. And the Insurgent is not for the faint of heart. It is not for the masses. It's for the one percenters who see that their short time in this life is meant for them to do something, not for their name or their activities to go into oblivion. You know, it makes no sense to live this life, you know, running and gunning for TVs and beer and, you know, sports bars and making sure you watch the Super Bowl. Come on, Wagman, there's got to be more to life than that. How about the salvation of your race? You shouldn't let a day go. You should not let the sun set without you doing something for your race. And if you get into a conversation with an enemy, or not an enemy, when you get in a conversation with somebody, you need to season every conversation with race. I do that every day. Every time I talk to somebody, you know, I ask them, what's the demographics of this area? Is this a changing area? I always bring in race. I bring race into every conversation I have with a stranger. So, I read a book called A Total Resistance by Major H. von Dachbern. He was a colonel in the Army of Switzerland back in the 50s. He wrote this book called Total Resistance in 1958, and he wrote it based on the supposition that possibly Switzerland can be invaded by the Soviet Union, and you know, and how to organize guerrilla activities behind enemy lines. And it's a very good book. So don't let me sharing these notes with you keep you from buying this book. I really believe you have to have this book in your library. You need to read it. Okay. Instead of me reading from the book, because I want to try to get it, the notes I've taken from this book in one show. So here we go. One of the points he makes is you need to be during any kind of occupation, whether it's the enemy's foreign or domestic. That's right, domestic. You need to cause fear and panic. You need to make the occupied area filled with civil unrest, uncertainty. You need to play the war of the nerves on the occupying force. You need to make them feel uncomfortable as much as you can. You made the point of make the occupied area constant unrest and chaos. I've said this before and I'll say it again. We need to see ourselves as engines of chaos. And if you want to watch the debate last night and, you know, thinking that maybe John McCain or Barack Obama can change things, you are deluding yourself. And after listening to at least a couple of shows from The Insurgent, whether it's myself or Tom Metzger, you should by now, if you've been familiar with the website, the resist.com, you should know that we cannot reform this thing, we cannot transform it, we cannot win it back for the white man. And if you are under that illusion and you insist on staying under that illusion, maybe you shouldn't listen to these radio shows no more, because all you're doing is just you're just playing around. You're not really serious about revolution. Okay, he pointed out some specific targets for sabotage. Transportation routes, roads, and rail. Some of you are old enough. Do you remember way back a kid used to play jacks? You know, you can make spikes that have like a jack configuration to it. You know, you throw jacks down, you bounce a ball, and you try to scoop up the jacks with your hand or whatever. I never played it, but I've seen it on old TV shows or whatever. You can make those jack type of tire deflators and just sprinkle them on the road for occupying forces to roll over. When it comes to rail, you can grease the rails at least 150 feet before an upgrade or a turn. And at least 150 feet because I guess the engineers have some sand available. And if they run into a grease track, then they just put sand on it so they can apply friction so they can get their freight moving. So once again, this is for when we come under occupation. Communication. You need to sabotage communications. Phone, cable, dish, high-definition TV. I'd love to see something happen where it just knock out an entire grid of the United States when the Super Bowl is on, and keep these millions of dumbed-down, cowardly, white, sheeple-ass motherfuckers from worshiping their favorite black athlete. Power grids. I really don't want to go into describing what that is. I'm not talking about the one that controls the United States or half the United States. There's fenced off areas with major electrical transformers in all areas, and they basically serve either one or two towns or a township, so you know what they look like. You've also seen satellite dish parks. You call it a park because there's 30, 40, 50 satellite dishes in a fenced in area. That's communication also. Repair shops and depots. You know, where the system, whether it's Chinese occupying force or whatever, has, don't forget, that's not out of the realm of possibility because, you know, they can buy up all kinds of land and then make us all serfs. That's not impossible. That is totally within the realm of possibility in the next 50 years. I mean, they hold trillions of our dollars in their banks and, you know, when this country goes under, and it is, and that could be a window of opportunity for us also, but it can also be for them to start buying up things, especially farmland. Okay, repair shops and depots. How about military and police motor pools? You know, I read in this book that you can throw a flaming oil-soaked rag under the hood of a car to, I guess that would damage the hoses and the fan belts and stuff like that. I can't really see him doing it that much damage to the engine. You can replace spark plug wires or whatever. But how about if you knock out the back window and pour a gallon of gas in the back seat? Not the front seat, the back seat, because it's close to the gas tank. And I don't think it would take that long for the gas tank to go up in something like that under a Chinese occupation vehicle. Transportation convoys. That could be just one truck, even. You know, how about all these trucks that have Spanish writing on them that deliver food, food surpluses to all these Mexican restaurants and these taco stands and whatever, these Mexican businesses? You need to see these non-white businesses, restaurants or whatever, food stores. You know, I'm seeing a great proliferation of food stores, small pantry-type food stores for Pakis and Hindus in my area, especially in the north suburbs of Chicago. If it's happening in my area, it's definitely happening in your area, because who runs your local convenience store? I bet it's a Paki or a Hindu. I bet it's a Dothead. You know, and he's making good money. Don't forget, they don't pay taxes the first 7 years, so he's banking all that money, putting his kids through the best schools, because white kids want to party. White kids want to smoke pot, and, you know, they want to be down with the brothers. While these Asian and Hindu kids, they're going to school, they're disciplined, they're studying, because they know they're going to run shit. And dumbass white kids want to fucking listen to Kid Rock or whatever kind of bullshit and have their minds polluted. Okay, couriers and messengers and liaison officers, they need to become targets too. Okay, and you know, how about corporate couriers, corporate liaison officers? Corporations are our enemies. They are the first line of defense, I believe, that has sold us out, including the Jews. Some Jews. Okay, guerrillas, whether cell or lone wolf, has vastly greater freedoms than soldiers. Man, if you're a lone wolf and you're dedicated, oh, man, you, the sky is the limit for what you can do, really. So, you don't have a boss telling you what to do or having to answer to. I mean, a lack of accountability is a double-edged sword. I mean, a lot of these guys aren't doing nothing, but then, you know, you don't have to answer no one. You do what you see fit. There's a lot of freedom in that. The only thing we lack is balls. Okay, keep cells small at first. Large groups are too cumbersome. Okay, I've said that before. Keep your group small. Don't preach and proselytize about race. You know, if you got four guys that share an apartment together, how about dressing up like in suits and ties and walking out of your apartment carrying Bibles? And maybe get to know some of them Bible verses so you can throw them around, so you can play the part. And then when you get out of the area where people know you, you can change into something else. Working class uniforms with a tool bag with different tools. Okay, take advantage of inclement weather. I mean, we did this in the Army, and it is always to the best effect. Whatever your lone wolf op is, whether it's lone wolf or cell, take advantage of fog, rainstorms, thunderstorms with that loud thunder. That's awesome, man. You can break windows during a thunderclap, you know, surreptitiously. Blizzards, fog, I love that shit. That's the stuff you guys need to take advantage of. Okay, there's a hiding ammo technique that I saw. You dug a hole, you filled the bottom of the hole with, like, baseball-sized rocks, then you put in a layer of sand, then gravel. On top of the gravel, you put, like, maybe a couple of logs. On the logs, you put, like, a wood platform, and then you put your cases of ammo in there. Make sure the box of ammo are not touching each other. You want air circulation between the boxes of ammo. And then you put some kind of cover over the hole, and then a plastic covering over that, and then dirt, and then maybe some weeds or whatever, and just make it look undisturbed. Don't ever shortchange that. That needs to, you need to play that by the book. Okay, passive operation for a lone wolf. He didn't use the phrase lone wolf. That's my phrase. All right. Observe the enemy systematically and continuously. You guys need to be spying on all kinds of shit out there. You know, I see these this Mexican beer commercial all the time on TV. Stay thirsty, my friends. You know, with the Mexican guy with the... Well, he's pretty white, though. He's got blue eyes and white skin or whatever. Dos Equis, I guess that's the name of the beer. And then at the end of the commercial, it says, Cervezas Mexicanas, White Plains, New York, meaning Mexican beer, White Plains, New York. Hey, you lone wolves in New York, fight. What was it? Is that a corporation for the Mexican beer companies? Is it? It's in White Plains, New York? I mean, that's a foothold in our society. If that goes unchecked, who knows? 20 years from now, we're drinking nothing but Coronas and Tecate and all these other Mexican beers. Where's the German beers? I mean, we have a history of German beer in this country. Maybe you need to see this Mexican beer as an inroad into spreading more Mexican spic culture. Establish inconspicuous security net for lone wolves. Comes down to body language. You got to act with cool, casual confidence and learn how to establish a safe house. Procure supplies. You guys need to be doing that right now. You need to have a couple of good knives. You need to have a good pack, sturdy boots, durable clothes and jeans, you know, like the Carhartt. Carhartt sells jeans that are very, very durable. You can get them in earth tone colors like green and brown. Carhartt jacket, you know, those things, man, they last forever. You need to get that stuff, put them in a bag, put them in a big sea bag or a duffel bag, and keep it in storage. And don't use that stuff until the shit hits the fan in this country, where there are no more department stores. They're empty shells of edifices that have been looted by whites and non-whites. I would wear the boots for a little while just to break them in, but store that stuff, really. Okay, hide and care for the wounded and sick. Okay, that's a passive operation. If you got a comrade who's hurt, but whose identity is unknown to the system, you can hide him and nurse him back to health with medical supplies. You guys need to learn basic first aid. That is very important. Okay, conceal material and ammunition. That's a passive operation. You guys can do that. I want to interject real quick here. If you're on the run and the system knows who you are, do not go to a comrade's house. Do not go to family. Do not go to friend's house. Don't go to an army buddy who you knew 15 years ago, and he lives in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Don't go to his house because, you know, the system, they have at their disposal every single phone record you've had for the last 20 years. They can find out all your old contacts from years before. So if you're ever on the run, nothing familiar. If you're on the run, you need to grab your balls, be a man about it, and don't approach anyone you know. Passive operation, you can serve as a guide for insurgent cells and a guide. You know, I can be a guy for out-of-towners who want to do something in this area. You know, I could maybe put them up in my house. If anyone inquires about, oh, it's just my relative from Kentucky. They're not from Kentucky. They're from Oregon, and they have a special mission in Chicago. So, but they'll carry Bibles around and act like goody-two-shoes to thwart any kind of suspicion. And they also identify traitors. I don't even know why I mentioned that. The fact that Tom Martinez is walking around with breath in his lungs and Dave Mazzella and all these other traitors. I mean, if we can't even deal with the traitors that have already sold us out, how are we going to deal with potential traitors? All right, active operations. You can supply technicians for guerrilla units. I mean, you know, all of you out there should be, I mean, I ran into a situation a couple weeks ago where some skinhead, I heard about it, some skinheads didn't want to go to this protest because they thought this guy who used to be in the World Church of Creator was going to be there, and they didn't want to be around him because, you know, he went to college and got a degree, so they think he's an elitist. What kind of shit is that? You know, these guys, skinheads who only want to drink beer and do petty crimes on the street, you're doing nothing for our race. I would rather have you not be a skinhead and bring white activism, give it a bad name with your bullshit. If you guys are going to school, I recommend don't go to school and be a psychologist. Don't go to school and, you know, have your minds tortured with this liberal arts, social Marxist bullshit. Go learn a trade, learn electronics, learn engineering, civil and mechanical and electrical. Learn that stuff. So that's a good active operation. We can replace wounded and sick. We can lay landmines or booby trap things. We can sabotage telephone cables and cable TV distributors and stuff like that. Start off with simple ops. This builds confidence. Operational security of guerrillas. One of the things you can do is systematically sound out occupation personnel. Listen, if you guys are sending an email while you're listening to this, you need to stop. One thing I also want to mention, you guys need to be copying all these programs, not just Guerrilla Radio, but the ones where Tom Metzger puts out a lot of good stuff. I would recommend recording every show from 2007 to 2008 and putting it on cassette tape, and store that stuff somewhere, because the internet is not going to last forever. There is going to, the days of the internet, I really believe, are numbered. I'm not saying it's going to be gone in months, but who knows what the internet's going to look like 10 years from now, because we're always talking about the children. Well, we got to get pornography off the children or off the internet because of the children. Listen, pornography is just a precursor for stifling unorthodox political views. Remember that. Okay. One way of operational security, report carelessly made remarks by a comrade or by an enemy. Monitor enemy communications. Bribe officials of the corrupt system. And you can also blackmail officials of the corrupt system. You know, this this communications, everything's going digital in February of 2009. You know, and I believe because they want to leave all the analog stations open for law enforcement. So if you guys are on some kind of op that has communications where you have to use walkie-talkies, I would have code words for something. You know, for example, if you're at the objective or you're coming from the objective, mission accomplished, but you're withdrawn, you can say over the radio, hey, going to the bar now. Or you can just have a coded language for everything. So, and always change that code. You don't want to stay with the code system, so change that at least, at the very most, weekly, but you can change it daily also. General lone wolf behavior. Proceed with secrecy, care, cunning, and even slyness. Only use force when you can mass superior force, meaning when you can outnumber your enemy. There's no shame in taking out somebody who's maybe weaker than you or unaware or something like that. This is war, and we're talking about the survival of our race. Only use force when you can mass. All right, avoid any kind of fight which may endanger your existence. Most important for your safety, maintain secrecy and security. Ambushes and raids are your main fighting weapons. Never engage superior forces for an open fight. Don't let your ego get the best of you. I can talk a little bit about that if something happened recently, but don't let the ego get the best of you. Don't let them talk you into a fight. You have nothing to prove. You hit and run. You don't stay in the vicinity after you've done something. When meeting superior enemy, divide into smaller groups and then meet again at a pre-designated rally point. Everyone should know where that rally point is before departing for the operation. Get used to walking with a pack. For the future, maybe one with no cars. Deceive enemy about your strength. Appear stronger and ubiquitous. You can do that with propaganda, slogans painted on the wall or whatever. Operate at night if possible, especially with fog, rain, blizzards, and storms. If you're in, if there's a hot war and you've been chased out of out of an urban area, during the daytime, I would definitely take your rest periods in the woods or definitely unfavorable terrain, you know, a thicket that's got thorny bushes. It's a pain in the ass for you to go through, but, you know, if you got occupation forces looking for you, you know, they could be tired, overworked. I'm telling you, I was a soldier for almost 12 years, and it's a natural tendency to avoid hazardous and terrain that's a pain in the ass, like swamps, thickets with thorny bushes and stuff like that. So those are your best hiding places, remember that. That's during the day. Okay, that's that sheet. Okay, deceive enemy with inconspicuous manner. You need to always be cognizant of your body language and your facial expressions. Never camp at the same place two nights in a row. At night, have a close perimeter, so you don't want your, depending on terrain, if you're in a thickly wooded area, you don't want your security or your security perimeter out far away from each other. You want them in close and tight. Okay, post out security, but this depends on terrain. Camp out at night where you did, or never camp at night where you did during the day. After sundown, you need to move your campsite. Okay, and you'll already know where that is. You're not just going to go on a whim. You know, always have a contingency plan, but I'll get to that later. Oh, yeah, Dan, that's the next point. Always have a contingency plan. You know, have a 5-point contingency plan. All right, if we run into contact on our way to the objective, we'll meet here. The biggest group of people who will get there, you're going to wait for an additional 2 hours. If we don't show up, you're going to do this or that. You know, just have a contingency plan that covers every possible contingency that can go wrong during an op. Have rally points for stragglers. Signaling. And this is important here. You can signal without using a radio, without using the internet, without using telephones and cell phones. If you're in a village and, you know, the system is in the village interrogating people, searching for things, you can signal your comrades out in the woods or in another neighboring town or a neighboring apartment complex by having a certain window open. That certain window open will say, hey, the enemy's in the area. You can hang out laundry and put two white shirts on a clothesline followed by a blue shirt. That means everything's all clear. You can have your, you know, a piece of throw rug hanging out the window, and you can be beating it with a broom like people do. I mean, I know that's very common in European countries, but and that could be a signal, like, hey, stay away, or abort mission tonight, or that could mean meet at the rally point at the designated time. I mean, it could mean anything you want it to mean. So get used to signaling without using technology. Okay, work towards independence on technology. I have a saying, in order for the white race to go forward, we temporarily need to go backward. Meaning we need to get off our dependency on the internet. I recommend face-to-face networking with only trusted advisors. We can build a network of, we can radicalize truckers and get them, use them as a network to transfer us all over the country, maybe even railroad personnel. So, use your imagination. Okay. What the fuck I leave off at? Alright, blow down trees for a roadblock and then put fake booby traps like wires when you blow down a tree for a roadblock, you have the tree with the branches come into the roadblock against the direction of travel, and then put fake booby traps in there because that's going to slow down their disarming. Remember, you want to delay them, maybe to set up for a bigger kill zone later. Use a roadblock to steer enemy into a kill zone. Sabotage roads with nails, i.e. sharpened jacks. Remember I talked about those? You can sabotage your vehicle by putting sugar or water in the gas tank. You can loosen oil drain screws and then catch and dispose the oil, because if you just let the oil puddle on the ground, well, that'll be seen. And then, you know, you want them to drive the vehicle and burn up the engine, okay? loosen the oil filter or oil pressure lead, whatever that is. I'm not mechanically inclined. Fill battery with plain water instead of distilled water. Ungrease bearings. Do not fill with sufficient oil. Maybe don't put enough oil into an engine. And this is for you people who penetrate the occupying force, whether it's foreign or domestic, and you get a job with them as a mechanic. You can subvert a lot of things. You can subvert a lot of equipment. Put high tension on the fan belt. You can slash or partially deflate tires and make them wear out. If you work for the establishment, I would deflate the tire partially. Don't slash it. If you don't work for the establishment, then slash it. Before a raid, clarify this. I don't know why I wrote, I don't know what that, oh, time of initiating fire. When is the raid going to be initiated? It's got to be initiated. I talked about this before with a casualty producing weapon. You don't want to initiate a raid or an ambush with a flare. You know, that just, that alerts the enemy, then they take cover, covered positions. When I initiate, you want shock and violent action for a successful raid or ambush. So you need to initiate that with a casually producing weapon, like a M60 machine gun, just, you know, spitting fire, just messing people up, claymore mine, whatever. Automatically, when vehicle reaches a certain point, all right, the lead vehicle reaches this certain tree, you initiate the ambush, okay? Stop lead vehicle by blowing down a tree right before it gets to it. You can mine it or with booby traps by firing on the convoy and distribute your fire throughout the column. Have it determined in your ambush patrol there who shoots the first vehicle, who shoots the middle vehicles, and who shoots the last. You don't want all your concentrated fire on the first two vehicles, because what's going to happen, the following vehicles will dismount their personnel and they'll do a flanking maneuver against your ambush element. So you want to saturate your fire evenly over the enemy convoy. Okay, determine who signal to stop and withdraw at pre-designated rally points. Signal to stop and withdraw. Okay, to stop firing and then withdraw to a pre-designated rally point. You always want to switch up that signal. One ambush, it could be a green star cluster if you have it, or maybe a Molotov cocktail thrown at the rear of the column or something. Have some kind of signal for people to withdraw immediately at the rally point and then get out of the area. Okay, and always switch that signal up, because what could happen is if an enemy's being ambushed and you've been using, for example, a green star cluster to stop firing and then withdraw, they'll have somebody ready to pop a green star cluster right when the ambush is initiated. Thereby, you're not killing or destroying as much. You prematurely withdraw, and you don't want the enemy to know your signal, so always switch them up. Okay, espionage. Observe through binoculars if you got them, or monocles, or minoculars, you know, the one-piece binocular. Evaluate satellite photos, drawings, maps of the objective. Obtain info through a cover story. You know, you can go to the actual establishment with a cover story and say, hey, I'm looking for, you know, Owen Roberts. I was told he works here. I was supposed to talk to him about a job. And then, you know, no, Owen Roberts works here. And then you can say, oh, man, this guy pulled one over on me, whatever. Always have a cover story, no matter what you're doing. Stroll by the objective nonchalantly, like you don't have a care in the world, like your mind is somewhere else, but you're noticing everything. Where's the cameras? Where's the guard shack and stuff like that? You know, pay attention to what deliveries are made at what times and whatever. Okay, keep playing secret, even from your comrades, until right up before the op. You never know if one of your comrades who's like, you maybe you don't know it about him, maybe he likes to talk a lot when he's drinking or whatever, so... actually, you shouldn't have someone like that in your cell, but if that ever happens, a good way to keep security is don't let your guys know what they're going to do until right before you guys go do it. Sentry elimination, an axe head, not the blade part of the axe, but an axe head, the fat part of the axe, right between the shoulder blades. That's like a quick kill technique, I guess. On foot at night, try to stay off the roads. Roads can be ambushed, roads can be... surveilled with cameras, all kinds of stuff. You can use railroad tracks to go through woods to get to your objective. You can cut through a cemetery. One night, I was with some friends, and we were surreptitiously trying to see if this guy's girl was with some boyfriend or whatever. And he wanted to go across this open field, this open park. I'm like, dude, don't be a dumbass. Because there was a wood line that skirted all the way around the open park, and we just stayed in the wood line. And so, yeah, it's a lot more walking, but nobody saw us. So keep that in mind. Don't just walk across an open field at night. There could be a cop or a system soldier in a vehicle with his lights off, parked, eating his donuts or whatever, filling out a report. You know, and there's a you can see somebody walking across a field at night, whether it's a half moon or a full moon or whatever. So always skirt a wood line around an open area. It's good security. Okay, occupy well-covered covered positions near the objective and wait for the following night. Now, your ORP, your objective rally point, with what I just described there, it's not 50 meters or 50 feet away from the building. It's got to be maybe, depending on terrain, but at least 200 to 300 meters away. Okay? But depending on terrain, and that's why it's good to look at satellite photos and stuff like that. And maps. Get the love maps, men. Determine guard shack location. When's the changing of the guard? How many there are? How are they armed? Study their habits. Are they lackadaisical? Are they always reading porno on the job? Or are they diligent? You got to watch them. Pay attention to their habits. Okay. One thing I learned in the Army, guards and soldiers are less likely to show discipline during cold weather. You know, I'm telling you, cold weather really breaks down the discipline because you want to stay warm. You don't want to walk your post at the designated time. You think, well, I'll walk it 2 hours later. You know, I mean, cold weather, that's a good time to be active, man, but have some kind of foot gear where you're not slipping and sliding all over the place. And try to minimize your tracks in the snow. If there's no snow or ice on the ground, but it's cold, that is, oh man, that is perfect. Because people got their windows closed, they got their heat on, you know, and if you're doing something, not in the wee hours in the morning, but during the hours of darkness, have a lot of ambient noise due to human activity, I mean, it's perfect, man. So get the love, cold weather. Okay, grease railroad tracks in the curve or upgrade, I talked about that. All right, divide cell. Like, say you're going to take on a railroad installation. Have part of your group cover the railroad personnel, keep them occupied in the office, and then one part of the team destroys the equipment, and then the other team secures the area. You have security teams out on the roads of that go into the installation, pulling security, warning in advance if somebody's coming. You can also use them as ambush. You want to ambush people coming in, maybe either to rescue them or maybe it's a guard coming to check on them. Okay, breakout. If you're in a wooded area and the system is moving against you to eliminate guerrilla activity. Remember, hide in very unfavorable terrain, but you don't want to try your breakout early in their operation because their troops are fresh. Wait later. Wait till their troops are tired. Wait till they, you know, cut through bushes and stuff like that, and they're either hot and hungry and distracted and thinking about home or doing whatever. One of the ways to hide is a spider hole. It's a very small hole. It's just enough for you to sit in, either Indian style or to sit on a stump in a hole. You cover the hole with a wood plank, and then you put dirt and weeds on top of it. And it's always good to have that hole at the base of a tree or the base of a bush, because you don't want it out in the middle of the field. What if a soldier walks on it and then he discovers it? And where it is, the team leader will help you. Your team will get inside the hole, the team leader will cover the hole with the plank or whatever, and then cover it with vegetation and whatever. And then the team leader goes up into the tree, and he sees from what direction they're coming. He's like an early warning device for the guys already in their holes. All right, they're 100 meters away, and a guy comes down first. All right, guys, they're coming. They're about 100 meters away. Then the team leader goes in his hide position. So that's something to think about. Spider holes. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to research this stuff. I just want to initiate your imagination so you can maybe start studying this stuff now while you still have the freedom to do so. Okay. Maybe I'll come back to that if I had time to talk about that. Okay. Anyone wishing to resist must live an inconspicuous life and remain silent. He said that in this book. This Major Doc Baron, the Swiss colonel, who wrote that in 1958. I mean, that's good advice. I mean, that's Tom Metzger's been saying that stuff for years. You need to lead an inconspicuous life. That includes no tattoos. I recommend keeping your hair short because if you're in a fight, long hair can be grabbed. And remember, a rule of fighting, where the head goes, the body will follow. You know, they could pull your hair and pull your head down into an uprising knee strike right to your face. So I keep my hair short, but I don't keep it skinhead short. I keep it just short enough so it can't be grabbed in a fight. But lead an inconspicuous life. And if you're active and you plan on being active, shut the hell up about race. Shut up about race. You know, pretend like you don't care. Pretend to be part of the other side. And some people out on the West Coast think I'm cowardly for saying that. No. I think it's time. I mean, the system is evolving all around us. They're bringing in troops to permanently station them in the United States for future uprising. The system knows what's coming. And what pisses me off about that is the people who have brought about all our agony and all our misfortune, when the shit hits the fan in this country, they're going to be living on their yachts in the French Riviera, and you know, we're going to be left to deal with all these black, brown, and yellow savages. I mean, I wish there was a way where they can pay now. These AIG guys going on a $450,000 a weekend trip after we bailed them out, but yet, you know, there's no riots in the street, there's no uprising. You know, I guess we deserve what we permit, but, you know, what the hell, white people? What the fuck are we waiting for? Why do we obey the laws of the land when the people who write the laws don't obey the laws? Stop being a sheep. Stop being a wolf. Stop thinking independent, thinking outside the box. Build a cell with many talents, and maybe with even an above-ground contact. It'd be great if you got a cell and a certain member of your cells, maybe an electrical engineer, and one guy's a mechanical engineer, one guy's a mechanic, one guy's a machinist who can make stuff on a small lathe in a covert basement of a safe house. That would be fucking awesome. And then maybe your above ground contact could be a professor at a college. I mean, you know, you can't get this stuff by wearing a swastika and a uniform. I mean, white people are just so turned off of that. There's all kinds of talent on the left, and we need to start recruiting these guys. Remember, National Socialism started out on the left, so you're not betraying anything. So, come on, let's start thinking differently about this stuff. All right, propaganda teams with security. You know, you have a guy who's spray painting the slogan on the wall, but you want to provide security. Paint the slogans on the walls, and then they operate at night by bicycles. Being on a bicycle at night, very surreptitiously. And then when you're getting out of the area, you put your safety vest on, your helmet, you put your flashers on. You're just a guy trying to get some exercise. Blend in with the normal flow of human activity when you're getting out of the area, and don't rush. If you must proselytize, go for the young. Try to find out some ingenious way of getting the young, because with the exception of guys like Tom Metzger and J.B. Stoner and a couple of these elderly guys or more mature guys have been around and they know what the score is, the rest of the old people, forget about them. They think we did a noble thing in World War II. Forget about them. Let them die. Let them get mugged by nigger thugs. Don't worry about them. And if you have an elderly person in your family who gets mugged by a nigger thug, then you need to be on your Operation Vendetta. You know, like what Tom Metzger talked about in the Albanian or Greek countries or whatever, when this man comes of age, they give him a dagger. You know, we need to get that mindset. We have become such a pussyfied race. 15 centuries of Jewish Christianity and 60 years of Jewish television have really taken its toll. We need to start thinking, maybe getting in touch with our roots. Our ancestors weren't weak, and they weren't a bunch of pussies. They were Celts and Franks and Saxons and Visigoths and Vandals. I mean, come on. We used to be ruthless and brutal. We can be that way again. There's nothing wrong with connecting with our past to deal with the future. Consider eliminating rats before they hurt you. If you know a guy who talks a lot, who just can't help but talking, and you're really involved in some deep stuff, it may be good for maybe cut his brake line or something. I mean, we're hurt by too many rats. I mean, I'm asking a lot here because we ain't even dealt with the rats who've already screwed us over. So, just keep that in mind. Ruthlessly deal with the churches. This guy didn't say this in the book. He's like, we need to work with the churches. The churches are our enemy. Every single denomination of the mainline church is either funding operations in the third world and, being representatives of people from the third world to come here, like that Asian slope, that fucking zipper head in Canada who cut off that guy's head on the bus. You know, he was sponsored by some church to come in. I mean, the churches are our enemies. Why are they going? I don't understand why they are going so unmolested. You know, the only church activity or anti-church activity I've seen was in Norway in the early 90s, and it wasn't even based on race. It was just based on, satanic rebellion or whatever. But I actually dealt more with the sensitivities of Christianity in Norway. I mean, that was never really something that will settle peacefully. There's still some attitude over there against Christianity. And I hope paganism spreads rampantly over there. The churches are doing us a untold amount of harm. And if you want to just bitch about it, and I mean, churches are not guarded installations. I'm sure they will be in the future, undercover security. You know what? If I was to do anything, if we lived in a Mad Max society, first thing I would do when I go into an installation was eliminate the security. And you can know who they are. You go to these churches, you pretend to be a member, you clap your hands during the songs, and you pretend to be all into the Jesus thing. You carry your Bible, you get to know people. Hey, Tom, my name is Frank. How you doing? Yeah, I'm new to this church, and I'm really excited about what this church is doing. You guys are really preaching the word of Jesus in the third world. Man, I think the Holy Spirit has led me to the church he wants me to be at. Amen, brother. Glad to have you aboard and all that. I mean, use your imagination and get to know who the security is. Infiltrate the church's Christian identity. You're tailor-made for that fucking mission, but you sit on your ass and you don't do nothing but bitch and complain about the white racists who are pagans or atheists? You're fucking cowards if you do not act. All right, the system has divided and conquered us. Well, we can do the same. We can divide and conquer with propaganda, with acts, with deeds, representing someone else maybe, leaving some literature behind, at a Mexican fiesta. This was an act created by the Nubian Liberation Front. We don't need you goddamn spicks taking black jobs. There's not enough to go around. I mean, come on. There's so many things we could be doing without being up front with your swastika. Stop being interested in you. Stop being interested in shocking people. Because that's all you NSM guys do. You're ass clowns. You really are. You're interested in people looking at you like, ooh, he has a swastika on. You just like shocking people. You really don't give a damn about the race. And I don't give a fuck piss off by saying that. Because believe me, I'll say it in person. I have no qualms about saying this stuff in person. Okay, here's a good signal. Let's say you have a safe house, and somebody is permanently always at the safe house, and you're coming back to your safe house from an op or meeting someone important, have a signal. If the safe house is if the person who's in the safe house is taken away to be interrogated, make sure that person kicks over a flower pot or disturbs something outside the house. So when you walk outside the house, or when you get into the center of the house, you know not to go there. Because there could be a security team waiting for you. I mean, have some kind of signal for the lone wolf who's out doing something when he's coming back to the safe house that the safe house has been compromised. And you need to read about safe houses. I know Jefferson Mack, who's author for Palin and Press, wrote a book on how to operate a safe house. And Tom Metzger, I bought that book, and I read it, and I sent it to you a couple years ago. So if you find it, send it back to me so I can reread it and do a show on it. Okay, network. We need to build a network with truckers. We need to radicalize them. How about getting a CB radio, getting in your car, and you're driving all over the place and saying, Breaker 1-9, help the white race. The white race is being pushed to the extinction levels. The white race will not be here in 150 years. The white race will only make up 10% of the population of Europe in 2090. I mean, come on, start spitting that stuff out there. These truckers... they're just that. I believe most of them are naturally patriotic, and we can really steer them towards the race thing. And don't forget, there'll be black truckers listening to this stuff, they'll get an attitude, and maybe you can always count on niggers to be niggers. You can use their lawlessness and their uncontrolled rage to your advantage. Okay. Be careful before you walk out the door of your safe house. You should have some kind of porthole where you can surreptitiously look at the surrounding outside of the safe house without peeking through a curtain, because that could be seen, with binoculars from a few hundred feet away. Have something where you can observe outside the safe house to see if you can spot any security teams before you walk out, even if it's to get the mail. Okay, potential informers may have, hearings that are pending. They could be used against you. So have nothing to do with somebody who's got any kind of law enforcement problems. If they got to go to trial coming up, have nothing to do with them. If you got a cell and somebody who's in contact with you was arrested for something and all of a sudden he gets out, and he's remaking contact with you, have nothing to do with that guy. In fact, feed him misinformation. I mean, there's a good chance he cut a deal to get a lighter sentence. So stay away from guys who are thousands of dollars in debt. You know, the system will say, hey, we'll take care of your debt for you. Just we want you to feed us some intel. Be our eyes and ears for us. How about someone who's an addict? Listen, bro, I'll give you all the heroin you want, free of charge. Just go infiltrate this group and let us know what's going on. So stay away from that. You know, you can tell somebody who's enslaved to something else. You want people who are strong enough to stand on their own. One way to sabotage a facility is to find a job there. You know, you smart guys who got degrees, go get a job at one of our enemy corporations. Come on, we need to start thinking outside the box. We've been trying the same old stuff for decades now, and it's gotten to a point now where there's just millions and millions and millions of non-whites. And I think the reason why they did that, one of the reasons why, is because they've been stealing the wealth of this country since 1913. They stole a big chunk of it last week with $700 billion, and they're talking about taking more by buying up bad mortgages. I mean, they're stealing more. They're stealing all the wealth of this country. And when it's gone, the people who stole it will be living high on a hog in some other part of the world. And here we are, white people. We got to deal with all these savages. So basically, they did a divide and conquer thing. They brought in all these blacks. They built incubator ghettos to grow blacks like bacteria in a fucking petri dish. Basically, so we can be bickering at each other. Now we got low-class white trash bitching and complaining about low-class black trash, and working-class whites are against working-class blacks and working-class you know, mestizos. It's divide and conquer. The people who have created all our problems are well, well above the poverty line. So, remember that. Also, a disassembled rifle can be infiltrated into an area with a briefcase, sports bag, a school book bag. You can infiltrate the bolt at the firing pin. You can infiltrate a piece at a time. That's a good idea. Well, anyways, I think I covered everything. Once again, about this breakout, I hope I wasn't confusing about the spider holes. They need to be at the bases of bushes and trees. The team leader needs to be the last one to get in this hole. He's going to help everyone camouflage the top of their holes, and he's going to go climb a tree and wait for their advance. If he sees them far off distant, he's going to say, all right, guys, they're coming. Don't make a sound. Don't sneeze. Don't cough. You may be in there a couple of days. You know, I read something interesting in a communist guerrilla warfare book talking about the Russian partisans, the Russian guerrillas behind German lines. And a German officer stated that, I wish I would have wrote it down because the way he worded it was awesome. He basically said that the Russian guerrillas, the partisans, could lay in a hole in the ground covered with a sod of dirt, could lay in a thicket, could lay in mud and snow for hours, sometimes days at a time, waiting for the enemy. He said that they have instincts that have been long suppressed by the rest of the civilized world. And kudos for you Russians, and I hope you're not losing that. You know what, guys? If you're one of these guys that don't like to get dirty, you need to change that. You need to go out in the woods and roll around a little bit and get dirty and know what it's like to get, you know, to be funky. I know there's a lot of people out there who've never been in the military. I have no problem getting dirty and soaking wet. I have no problem being covered in mud. I can always wash mud off, but, you know, being dirty and funky also covers the scent of a lot of things. You don't ever want to go on a lone wolf op smelling like a French whore. You want to wear cologne. You don't want to wear jewelry. You don't want to wear shiny things. But you don't want to wear a bunch of army fatigues because that, you know, people look at stuff like that. You want to dress in earth tone colors. You want to blend in with society. A good rule of thumb is, some CIA guy said one time that he perfected the art that when he's undercover, that if he met someone, he's so bland, so uninteresting that the person forgot about them 5 minutes later. Be that kind of guy. When you start thinking outside the box, everything that we hold sacred is at stake here. We have the moral high ground. So if we want to step outside the law to save our race, we are perfectly justified to do so. Self-preservation is the highest law. And too many of us, we're just playing games. We're playing games while our race is being eliminated. And they've come up with a very ingenious way of eliminating our race. They're having us do it ourselves. They've destroyed our minds with the schools and with TV. If they would have shot us, machine gunned us into mass graves or tank ditches, that would have gotten people's attention. But they suppressed literature. They suppressed things that build pride in white people. So you need to be about your mission. And if you're not, you're a coward. If I don't, I'm a coward. And in the future, if they're not writing songs about you and naming universities after you and parkways and boulevards, it's because you didn't do enough. We're all going to die someday. We might as well go out in a blaze of glory. No one lives forever. 14.